V'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Pe'alof. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third of the way down from the beginning of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Ochal v'shoso behelam echot. We know that if somebody eats or drinks on Yom Kippur intentionally, he's chayav koros. A type of avera which is punishable by koros, when done unintentionally, b'shoigeg, one has to bring a korban chatos. What happens if a person did the same avera a few times, one after the other? Does he have to bring a korban chatos for every time he did the avera? So the halacha is that if he does the same avera within a helam echod, which is a single period of unawareness, either he's unaware that it's Yom Kippur, or he's unaware that eating or drinking on Yom Kippur is osur, and he doesn't remember in the meantime, and he eats a few times, then he has to bring just one korban chatos. If, however, he became aware it was Yom Kippur, or he became aware that it's also to eat or drink on Yom Kippur, and then he forgets again and eats again, he'll have to bring a separate korban chatos. So, ochal v'shoso behelam echod, if somebody ate or drank, we'll see, in a single period of unawareness, einu chayev elo chatos echos, he only has to bring a single korban chatos. And the reason that he brings one korban chatos, even though he ate and drank, is because eating and drinking is the same issur as far as the pasuk is concerned. It's the issur of not afflicting oneself. Ochal v'osa melocha. If he ate and did a melocha on Yom Kippur, even though it was behelam echod, he forgot it was Yom Kippur, or he forgot these things were osa. Chayev shtei chatois, he has to bring two chatois, because eating is one pasuk, doing a melacha is a different pasuk. It's the chatos for a different avera. And therefore, even though it was behelam echod, he brings two chatois. Ochel oichlim she'enon ru'uyin la'achila. This is another halacha that if a person eats on Yom Kippur food which are not really fit for eating, v'shosa mashkin she'enon ru'uyin l'shsia, or he drank liquids that are not really fit to be drunk, and the Bach adds in the word potur here, so that the Mishnah will read a little bit easier. But the Mishnah continues, v'shoso tzir oy murios, if a person, which these are examples of drinks which are not really edible, he drank fish brine, or he dissolved fish fats, which is murios, potur, he's not going to be chayev chatos, because these are not things that are normally drunk on their own. Says the Gemara, Omar Shlokish, Mipneima loinemro az hora b'inui. When you look in the Chumash does say v'inisem es nafshei seichem, that you shall afflict yourselves on Yom Kippur. Afflicting oneself has that connotation of don't eat, don't drink. The question is, why, regarding eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, why does the Torah say that one shouldn't eat or drink using a positive term, v'inisem, that you should afflict yourselves? Why does the Torah not say something like, don't eat or drink, which is a negative commandment? Why is the Torah avoiding using a negative commandment regarding the issa to eat and drink on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, Mishum deloy efshar, because we can't find a phrase that would be appropriate. Heicha nichtov, how would the Torah write it? Says the Gemara, Nichtei Brachmona, the Torah could have written it, Loi Yoichel, don't eat on Yom Kippur. The problem with that would be that if it used the term of Achila, it would be Achila B'Kazayis. Then what would be apparent from that would be that eating a Kazayis, because in the whole Torah the word Achila means Kazayis, eating just an olive volume will be sufficient to be punishable by Koros, and we know that's not the case. We know that on Yom Kippur, a person is only chayev if he eats a size of a date, a kriseves hagaso. Says the Gemara, nichtev rachmona loy se'une. Now, even though the word se'une would mean affliction, as the Torah uses in a number of places regarding Yom Kippur, te'anu, es nafshei seichem, that you should afflict yourselves, but the word te'une can also be used for the opposite, to not afflict oneself, and one finds words like that, like ledashin, which could mean to put ashes, and really it means to remove ashes, lesharesh, which could mean to make root, and really it means to unroot. So maybe that's what the Gemara is suggesting, the Torah should say, loy su'une, do not refrain from inui. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't suffice, because people would think, kum echol mashma. People would think it means, do not afflict yourselves, and you should eat or drink on Yom Kippur. And that would certainly be the wrong message to be giving. So the Gemara says, since there's no way that, there's no term, there's no formula that the Torah could use as a negative commandment that would say not to transgress the inui, the affliction, therefore there's no negative commandment. It just says, in a positive way, ta'anus nafshiseichem, you should afflict yourself. Obviously, the message that that's giving us is don't eat or drink, but it doesn't say it in a negative term. Asks the Gemara, maskiflo Reboishia. Reboishia says, I have an idea. Nichtei brachmono, why did the Torah not write? Hishomer pen loy tu'une. Be vigilant, lest you not be afflicted. And we know that the word hishomer, which means to be vigilant, to protect, to make sure, to guard, is a form of lav. It's considered a negative commandment. The word pen also, lest you, also has a negative connotation. Says the Gemara, if it would say that, imkei nefisha luhu lavi, then there would be more than one lav. Hishomer would mean lav, and pen would mean lav, and that would be two lavim, and that wouldn't suffice either. Maskiflor of Bivi Barabaya. If Bivi Barabaya says, I've got another idea. Nichtei Rechmona, why doesn't the Torah write, Hishomer b'mitzvas inui, be vigilant with regard to the commandment of affliction. And then you've just got Hishomer without the pen, and it would be a lav, it would be a negative connotation. Answers the Gemara, because Im Kain, if it would say it that way, Hishomer, you should guard, you should be vigilant with the mitzvah of Inui, and the mitzvah of Inui in and of itself is a positive commandment, and you should afflict yourselves. The Gemara says, we have a rule, that Hishomer, when it uses the word Hishomer, delav, in context of a negative mitzvah, that means a mitzvah loisaseh, then lav, indeed it would mean a lav. However, Hishomer da'aseh, when it says be vigilant in context of a mitzvah aseh, as it says here, b'mitzvahs inui aseh, then Hishomer doesn't mean a lav, it's not a negative commandment, it's actually a positive one. And then we haven't gained anything. We're trying to gain that the Torah should write this lav in the negative tense, as a negative commandment. Maskeflor of Ashi, of Ashi's got another question. Nichtoiv, why doesn't the Torah write, Al Tosur, do not turn away, min ho'inui, from the affliction? And the Al Tosur is certainly a negative commandment, it's a lav. Says the Gemara Kashia, indeed, it's a challenge, it's difficult, we don't really have a good answer why the Torah didn't do that. Continues the Gemara, we just now saw in the Gemara before, that Rish Lakish says, and explained, that even though the Torah makes it very clear that we're not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur, as it says, v'inisem snafshiseichem, that you have to afflict yourselves, but it doesn't say it as a negative commandment. And we know that in order to be punished by Korus for doing an Avera, it has to be that some place there is some negative commandment associated with this punishment, that the punishment will actually be met to somebody who transgressed that negative commandment. And if it's just a positive commandment of V'inisem es nafshiseichem, that would not suffice to justify the punishment of Korus. And we know it doesn't say explicitly a lav in the Torah, but there must be some place that we can learn from lav that there's a lav for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, V'tana ma'isel amihocha. There's a Tana, and this is actually a Torah's Kehanim at length, and an abridged version of the Torah's Kehanim is actually going to be brought here in the Gemara, that we're going to learn that there's actually a type of lav, what we call an azhara, a warning against eating on Yom Kippur. And the Braisa says as follows, that it says in the Pasuk, V'inisem es nafshoiseichem, etc., V'chol melocha lo isasu. The Pasuk says that, and this is not the azhara, but the Pasuk does say that one has to afflict oneself on Yom Kippur and should not do any melachis, any work. And that's just an introduction to the discussion we're about to have with a number of details. Says the Teres Kohenim, Yachil Yehe Onoish Al Tisefes Melacha. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, on Amud Beis, that there's a chiyuv to refrain from doing work, not only on Yom Kippur proper, but also on Tisefes of Yom Kippur, which is a little bit before the Yom Kippur starts, at the very end of Erev Yom Kippur, that one's also chayev to refrain from working, and also on Motzah Yom Kippur, the end of Yom Kippur. Don't start doing work the second that the day of Yom Kippur is over. No, you should continue with refraining from work a little bit into the Motzah Yom Kippur, into the evening. Then a person might think that one would be chayev koros for doing a melacha in that time of Tosefes, the additional time before and after Yom Kippur, in the same way as one would be chayev koros for doing a melacha on Yom Kippur proper. Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says no. The Pasuk says, V'chol ha-nefesh asher ta'ase kol melacha. Any person who does any work, be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, on this very day. What's the Torah coming to tell us with the words, be'etzem hayoyim hazeh? That only al itzumei shel yoyim onish koros, only when you do work on the actual day of Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur, then there's koros. Ve'ein onish koros al tisefes melacha. But work done in that additional time, the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the time before the onset of Yom Kippur and after the end of Yom Kippur, there's even though one is not allowed to do melacha, it is not punishable by koros. Yochel lo yehe enish koros al Tosefes melacha, aval yehe enish koros al Tosefes inui. So that's all very good. We just found a source that regarding doing melacha on Yom Kippur, one is only chayev koros if one does the melacha on Yom Kippur proper. But how about the inui, the affliction, that one is chayev to start the halachas of the inui of Yom Kippur, the inuim we learnt in the Mishnah? We have to start doing that before the onset of Yom Kippur and continue a little bit after the end of Yom Kippur. How do we know that there's no chayev koros for not afflicting oneself? If a person were to eat right till the beginning of Yom Kippur, or immediately at the end of Yom Kippur, which is also, we'll soon see what the source is, but I may have thought that if he does eat, then he's going to be chayev koros. Talmud Leimah, the Pasuk says, Ki kol ha-nefesh asher lo yisu'une. Any person who will not be afflicted, be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, again, it's a stress on be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, on this very day, v'nechroso, he will be punishable by koros. Al itzumei shel yoyim enish koros, only somebody who doesn't afflict themselves on Yom Kippur proper, is going to be punishable by koros. Ve'in enish koros, al tisefes inui, but the inui that a person is required to keep before and after Yom Kippur, if he fails to do that, it will not be punishable by koros. Says the Gemara, and now it's going back to Melacha, Yochil, I may have thought that lo yehei bichlal oynish, that indeed if somebody does a Melacha in the Tosefes of Yom HaKippurim, in the minutes before and after Yom Kippur, he will not be chayev koros, aval yehei muzar al Tosefes melacha, but it will be considered that he's transgressed a lav and will be chayev malchus. Talmud Leimah, that's why it says in the Pasuk, v'chol melacha lo yisasu, don't do any work, be'etzem hayom hazeh, that this lav only applies to etzem hayom hazeh, on the very day, on the essence of Yom Kippur, not before and after. Al itzumei shel yoyim hu muzar, ve'enei muzar, al tosefes melacha. And the lav does not apply to the time just before and just after Yom Kippur. Continues the Braisa, Yochel lo yehei muzar al tosefes melacha, aval yehei muzar al tosefes inui. I may have thought that it's true, we just now brought a pasuk, that there isn't even a lav for doing melacha in the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, but maybe for transgressing the inui, the affliction, before and after Yom Kippur, it's true there won't be a chiyuv koros, but maybe there will be malchus as a lav. Says the Gemara, no. V'dinhu, I'll give you a logical explanation why that wouldn't be the case. Uma melacha. Shenei Heges b'Shabbosis v'Yomim Tovim. We know that the Issa to do Melacha is much broader than just Yom Kippur. It applies to Shabbos, it applies to Yom Tov. There's differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov, but the concept of Issa Melacha applies on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Einei Muzar Aleha, and we just saw before, that regarding the Issa Melacha, there isn't even a lav if somebody does Melacha before and after Yom Kippur, then Inui, then the requirement of affliction, which is a much less broad Issa. She'einei noeg b'Shabbosis v'Yomim Tovim, affliction applies only to Yom Kippur, not to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Einui din, we can take it for granted, she'lo yehei muzar olav, that if somebody transgresses this in the time just before and just after Yom Kippur, that he will not be Chayev Malkus. Continues the Braisa. So all that is all fine and good. We've discussed the Tosefes, the moments, the minutes before Yom Kippur and after Yom Kippur regarding Melacha and regarding affliction. There's no Chorus, there's no Malkus. Aval azhora le'inui shel yoim atzmoi lo'i lamadnu. As we saw before, as Rish Lakish pointed out, that we don't have anywhere in the Pasuk that tells us that don't eat or drink on Yom Kippur. It says a positive commandment, make sure you afflict yourself. But it doesn't say anywhere a warning against eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Minayin. So where do we know this warning from? And that's what the Gemara asks, Aval azhora le'inui shel yoim atzmoi lo lamadnu minayin. Where do we know it from? It must be there's some place, a warning, because otherwise there wouldn't be any chorus. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you where from. Because the Pasuk does tell us explicitly the punishment for somebody who does melacha on Yom Kippur, and the punishment for somebody who eats on Yom Kippur. That in both of those, the punishment is chorus. The question is that both of them, we don't need to say both of them, because at least one of them is more chomor, we'll soon see the details, but one of them is more stringent than the other. There's a stringency with melacha, as we've seen, that melacha is a much broader type of issue. It applies on Shabbosis and Yomim Tovim, in contrast to affliction, to Inui, that only applies to Yom Kippur. That's a stringency by Melacha, and there's a stringency by Inui, that Inui has no exceptions. But Melacha, there are exceptions. There are certain times, the certain Melachas on Yom Kippur, that we override the Issa Melacha. We'll soon see what they are. So, one of them is more stringent than the other. They both have a stringency, we'll soon see, the Gemara is going to discuss that, but one is definitely more stringent than the other, and therefore, it would suffice to say the punishment of Chorus by the less stringent one, and then we will take it for granted that the more stringent one has the same punishment. And nonetheless, the Torah does say the punishment by both. So the Gemara says, Lo yeimar einish b'melocha. The truth is, I don't need to say the punishment by the Issa Melacha. The fact that there's a Chiyuv Chorus, if you do a Melacha on Yom Kippur, that seems to be superfluous, because I can learn it out from Inui. Because Inui is more lenient on one level than doing Melacha. Because Ma Inui, She'einu Noeg B'Shabbosis V'Yomim Tovim. If affliction, which is just a local halacha regarding Yom Kippur, it doesn't apply to other Shabbosis and Yomim Tovim, and nonetheless Enish Chorus, then Melacha, the Issa Melacha, Shenei Heges b'Shabbosis v'Yomim Tovim, it's a much more broader Issa, it applies to Shabbosis and Yomim Tovim as well. Lo kol shekein, I will take it for granted that the punishment for doing work on Yom Kippur is Chorus. So lomo nemar. So why indeed does the Torah write that the zechi of Chorus for somebody who does melacha on Yom Kippur, that it must be that it's mufne lehakish v'lodun mimenu gzera shava. It must be that it's indeed superfluous, and once it's superfluous, we can use it for a gzera shava. What would be the gzera shava? That nemar oynish beinui, v'nemar oynish b'melacha. It says the punishment of Chorus for somebody who doesn't keep the affliction. And it says the punishment of Chorus for somebody who doesn't do Melacha. And now that at least one of them is superfluous, is Mufne, we can use it for this Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava now compares Inui to Melacha. Once we have a Gzera Shava comparing Inui and Melacha, we can take it one step further. Ma Melacha loy onesh Elohim Ken Hizir, in the same way as regarding not doing malacha, where there's an explicit warning in the Torah, don't do a malacha on Yom Kippur, Af inui le'onash elem ken hizir, so too, regarding affliction, we associate the warning of malacha to inui as well, as if it would say that there's a warning, a lav against eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, even though it doesn't say it directly, we learn it from Gzeiro Shava, and that's where the Azhara is, that's where the warning is. But the Gemara is now going to refute that, and is going to say Ikel Mifrach, that we can refute that. You wanted to say, and where did you assume, why did you assume, that the Chiyuv Chorus, the Oynish B'melocha, is superfluous, and only because it's superfluous you can learn the Gzeiro Shava? The reason it's superfluous is because you would learn it out from Inui, that Inui has a certain leniency, inasmuch as it only applies on Yom Kippur, and not Shabbos and Yom Tov, and nonetheless there's Chorus, we will take it for granted the same would apply by Melocha. That's not accurate, because there's a leniency by Melocha. I may have thought that if it wouldn't say the Oynish, the Chorus by Melocha, I would have thought that maybe there is no Chorus by Melocha, even though there's Chorus by Inui, because Inui has a certain stringency that Melocha doesn't have. What would that be? Ma le Inui sheloi hutar michloloi. Because regarding the Inui, there is no exception to that rule. Ever. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, even in the Beis HaMikdosh, where there's a mitzvah to eat korbonis and hekdesh, they would not eat it on Yom Kippur. Toimar b'melocha shehutra michlolo, but regarding melocha, there are exceptions to that rule. For example, shechting korbonis. Shechita is a melocha. In the Beis HaMikdosh, you could shecht the korbonis. So you see there's a certain leniency by melocha. And if there's a leniency by melocha, then maybe the punishment of Chorus would not apply to it. And therefore you need to explicitly write the punishment of Chorus so it's not superfluous. And if it's not superfluous, you don't have a Gzeira Shava. If you don't have a Gzeira Shava, the question comes back. Where do you have a lav, a warning, against eating and drinking on Yom Kippur? And the Gemara now tries to turn it the other way around. Elo, lo yoimar oynesh be'inui. It could be that it doesn't need to say the punishment of Chorus for somebody who eats and drinks on Yom Kippur. De gomar mi melocha, I can learn it out from melocha, because melocha has a leniency over Inui. Ma melocha shehutra michlolo. If melocha that has this exception, as we saw, shchita, which is overridden even on Yom Kippur, enish Chorus, nonetheless there's a punishment of Chorus, then Inui, shelo yutar michloloi, then the requirement of affliction, which is not overridden, there are no exceptions, loikol shekein, of course there'll be chiyuv chorus. Lomo nemar, so why does the Torah explicitly tell us that by the inui, there's a chiyuv of chorus? It must be mufna, that indeed it's superfluous, in order that lahakish velodun mimeno gzeiro shova, in order to use it for a gzeiro shova. Now that we have a superfluous oynish by Inui, we can learn out a gzeiro shava. Ne'emar oynish by Inui, ve'ne'emar oynish by melocha. It mentions chorus both by Inui and melocha. Ma melocha onash ve'hizir. In the same way as the isa melocha, it's explicit not only the punishment but also the warning against doing the melocha. Af Inui onash ve'hizir. As we said before, it's similar. So too regarding the Inui, we learn out from melocha, as we saw before, that once you have the gzeiro shava, we learn the azhara, the warning of Inui, which is the detail that's missing here, from the azhara of melocha. The question is just, how did you make the gzeiro shava? First, the Gemara says the gzeiro shava is based on the fact that the oynish of melocha is superfluous. That didn't work. So the Gemara says it's actually the oynish of Inui, which is superfluous, but the gzeiro shava is the same. And here the Gemara is again going to refute this. Ikel mifrach, ma la malocha, because how can you say that the oynish of Inui is superfluous? Because you would learn it from the oynish of malocha, and malocha is more lenient, as we said before, because there are exceptions, but there's also a leniency by Inui. And therefore you would not be able to learn out the chorus of Inui from the chorus of Melocha. So you have to write it explicitly. So it's not superfluous. If it's not superfluous, then you haven't got your Gzeiro Shava. what is the leniency that we find by Inui? Because Ma Melacha may be just Melacha that has the stringency. Shekeinu Heges b'Shabbosis v'Yomim Tovim, it applies also in other Shabbosis and Yomim Tovim. Toimar b'Inui Sheinu Heges b'Shabbosis v'Yomim Tovim. And therefore, we cannot in any way establish that either the Oynish of Melacha or the Oynish of Inui are superfluous, so there's no Gzera Shava, so you cannot learn the warning of Inui from the warning of Melacha. And the question comes back, where do we have the warning of Inui? Says the Gemara, Omar Ravina, Hai Tana Etzem Etzem Gomar. And this Tana is referring somehow to the Brisa that we mentioned, but that's a discussion in the Meforshim, how to fit this into the Brisa. But the Tana is obviously learning that it's not learnt out a Gzeira Shova of the Oynish of Inui from the Oynish of Melacha. Rather, it says regarding Melacha Etzem, it says regarding Inui Etzem, and it must be that one of them is Mufne, because we're trying to learn from Melacha to Inui, that in the same way as Melacha, there's not only a punishment, there's also a warning, so too regarding Inui, even though explicitly is the punishment, there's no warning with the terminology of a loisaseh, a negative statement, but we learn out from Melacha. And just to be able to learn Inui from Melacha would have a challenge, because there's a certain kula by Inui, in as much as that it doesn't apply to other Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim. So there would be a challenge from ever learning from Melacha to Inui. However, we do not refute Gzeira Shava if one of the words that are used are mufne, are superfluous. And over here the Gemara says mufne, that this word etzem is mufne, it's superfluous. The Eloi mufne, because if it wouldn't be superfluous, ikele mifrach, kede parchinon, we would then ask, how can you learn from Melacha to Inui? Inui has a certain leniency. And even though the words etzem themselves are not really mufne, as we saw before, that you learn from be'etzem, that it's only the punishment and the lav only applies to Yom Kippur proper, not to the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, to the minutes before and after Yom Kippur. However, there is a superfluous posuk regarding working on Yom Kippur. We'll soon see what it is. And since there's a superfluous posuk, that tells us that you can make a Gzeira Shova etzem etzem without refuting it. And the Gemara says, La'ei, in truth, afnuya mufna, there is a posuk which seems to be superfluous, an extra free posuk, and from which we can learn that from Melacha to Inui, that the Azhara, the warning of Melacha, also somehow relates to the Inui, and since there's a warning then for the Inui, we can understand how there can be a punishment for the Inui. And the Gemara says, Chamisha kroi ksivi b'melacha. The Torah actually writes 5 times, there's 5 psukim in the Torah, that tells us that you're not allowed to work on Yom Kippur. Chad, one of them, la'azhora de yumama, to tell us you're not allowed to work during the day of Yom Kippur. V'chad la'azhora, one is a warning, the leilio, that you're not allowed to work on the night of Yom Kippur. V'chad la'oynish de yumama, one posuk is to tell us that if you do work during the day, there's a punishment, of course. V'chad la'oynish de leilio, and one to say that if you work on the night of Yom Kippur, it's a punishment, of course. The chad, and the last one, is lafnuya, is superfluous, it's a free posuk, it's left over, lemigmar inui mimelacha, in order to learn inui from melacha, bein diyamama, bein delelia, both the day and the night together, that we learn out from etzem etzem, that in the same way as the melacha has a warning associated to it, so too we can attribute that warning also to the concept of inui on Yom Kippur. And then we can understand how there can be an oynish, a punishment, for not keeping the halachas of Inui on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara, we're now going to find other sources, other opinions, from where we can learn that there is a warning regarding Inui on Yom Kippur. The Beir Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learnt the following braisa. Ne'emar kan Inui. By Yom Kippur, it speaks about affliction, Inui. V'ne'emar lehalon, and it also uses the term Inui elsewhere in the Torah. V'ne'emar lehalon, Inui. And there it's referring to somebody who afflicts a woman who has the status of an Eishes Ish, and it's a very serious Avera, punishable by death. Ma lahalon, in the same way as over there, loy onash elim kein hizir. Just over there, one, the punishment isn't given unless there is a warning, and indeed there is a warning written there in the Torah. As it says in the Pasuk, Val Eishes Amischa loisitein shchoftcha lozora. Afkan, so to hear regarding the Inu and Yom Kippur, le'onash elim kein hizir, that if there's a punishment, we assume that there's a type of warning that's associated to it, and it's the warning which is said elsewhere, as we saw from where it says, al dvar she'ino es eishes re'ehu. Continues the Gemara, another source, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, yalif shabos shabosoin mishabos bereishis, that we learn out the warning of Inui for Yom Kippur from a regular Shabbos. It's a gzeru shova from Shabbos. Shabbos is considered Shabbos Shabbosin, as it says in the Pasuk of Yemashvi, Shabbos Shabbosin Kodesh Lashem. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosin, as it says, Shabbos Shabbosin Hilochem Ve'inisem Esnafshu Seichem. So we can learn one from the other. Ma lahalon, just as regarding the regular Shabbos, Le'onash Elohim Ken Hizir, not only does the Torah tell us a punishment, the Torah explicitly speaks about a warning, Afkan Le'onash Elohim Ken Hizir. So too, regarding affliction of Yom Kippur, the punishment is associated to that warning. Continues the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar, another source, he gufei Shabbos Ikri. Instead of learning Shabbos Shabbosin of Yom Kippur from Shabbos Shabbosin of a regular Shabbos, Yom Kippur itself is called a Shabbos. Dichsiv, as it says, Tishbesu Shabbatchem. That's the Pasuk of regarding Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur itself is called a Shabbos, so I don't need to learn Gzeira Shava to Shabbos Shabbosin of Shabbos. The very fact that Yom Kippur is called a Shabbos tells us that just like Shabbos, there's Ein Oynish, Elim Kein Mazhirin, over there there's an explicit warning, so too regarding the Inui of Yom Kippur, there's a warning associated to it. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Rav Papa le'omar k'Rav Acha bar Yaakov. I can understand why Rav Papa preferred to learn out from Tishbesu Shabbatchem of Yom Kippur, and not Gzeira Shava Shabbos Shabbosin to Shabbos. Dekra d'chsiv begufei odif, because it's better to learn from a posuk which is written here with Yom Kippur without having to resort to a posuk written elsewhere. Elo Rav Acha bar Yaakov, my tama le'omar k'Rav Papa. Why did Rav Acha bar Yaakov choose a gzeira shova, Shabbos Shabbosin, Shabbos Shabbosin, and didn't just learn it out from Tishbesu Shabbatchem? Answers the Gemara, miboyle l'kedetanya, because this posuk that Rav Papa uses, Tishbesu Shabbatchem, is used for something else. We learned in a brisa, Ve'inisem es nafshei seichem betisho lachodesh. The Pasuk says you should afflict yourselves on the ninth of the month, be'erev in the evening, me'erev ad erev, from the evening till the evening, tishbesu shabbatchem, that you should rest your Shabbos. Yochil yaschil v'yis'ane betisho. Could it be that Yom Kippur is actually kept on the ninth of Tishri? It says, Ve'inisem es nafshei seichem betisho lachodesh. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, no, Talmud Loima, that's why it says, Bo'erev, only in the evening. That means the fast starts on the evening after the ninth. Bo'erev, once it says that the fast starts in the evening, Yochil, I may have thought, Mishatechshach, that the fast starts only from nightfall, the night of the tenth. Talmud Loima Batisha, and this is the halacha we already saw previously, that already Batisha, the fast of Yom Kippur, which is the 10th of Tishri, starts on the 9th. Ha Ketzad, how would this be true? Maschilu Mis'aneh Miboyid Yom. We have to start fasting when it's still the day of the 9th. That's called Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, a little bit in at the end of the 9th, before the onset of Yom Kippur. Mikan, from here you see, Shemaisifin Michoil al HaKodesh, that we add from the weekday onto the Yom Kippur day. Yom Kippur day is called Kodesh. Erev Yom Kippur is called Choil, relatively. It's a weekday. We add on and start practicing the halachas of Yom Kippur. Namely, the, we'll soon see, but here we're talking about the affliction, that it starts already from the day. So that would only tell us that Betisha Be'erev, that the evening, at the end of the ninth, that's when you have to sefes Yom Kippurim. How do you know that the end of Yom Kippur, after the 10th, the day of the 10th of Tishri, when it's already the night of the 11th, how do you know that there also you have to add a little bit on and continue fasting into the 11th? Talmud Lo Yimai, it says, Me'erev ad Erev, from the evening till the evening, which means that until the night, including a little bit of the next night, you should also keep the affliction. But this pasuk is talking about Yom Kippur, so I know that you have to add on to Yom Kippur a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end. How do you know that every Shabbos you should add on a little bit before the onset of Shabbos and a little bit after the end of Shabbos, add on a little bit? Talmud Loma, that's what it says in the pasuk, Tishbasu, that you shall rest. This extra word is telling us that even Shabbos, the one should add on. Ainli Elo Shabbosis, that would only tell us, besides Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yomim Tovim Inayin, how do you know that all other Yomim Tovim you also should add on before and after Yom Tov? Talmud Loima Shabbatchem, it says in the extra word that Tishbesu Shabbatchem, Ho Ketzad, Kol Mokim Shenema Shvois, anywhere where the Torah says, rest, don't work, Mesifin Michoil Ala Kodesh, you add from the Choil, from the weekday, onto the Kodesh. And since this Braisa learns Tishbesu Shabbatchem to tell us Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yomim Tovim, therefore we can understand why Rav Acha bar Yaakov did not want to learn from, like Rav Papa did, from Tishbesu Shabbatchem, this halacha that Yom Kippur has an attribute of Shabbos, in as much as besides for a punishment, there was also a warning. And Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes says that these last words of Ho Ketzad, that means what do we learn from here, that Kol Mokim Shenem HaShvois, Moisifin Michoil Al HaKodesh, is coming to impress on us that even regarding the year of Shemitah, which is also a year of Shvois, of resting, that one, there is a halacha of Tosefes Shvius, a little bit before Shemitah and a little bit after Shemitah. And that's discussed in Tosfos and the Ritva over there in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. And now the Gemara asks, V'tana de'etzem etzem, we learned on pe'alef amad aleph, that we learn from the words be'etzem, that the punishment of chorus doesn't apply to somebody who either eats or works in this Tosfos Yom Kippurim, in the moments and the minutes before Yom Kippur and after Yom Kippur. So if you have a pasuk to say there's no chorus, then from there alone we can understand that there's an issa, just there's no chorus. So from there alone we know that Tosefes Yom Kippurim applies, that you have to be Moisif Michoil Ala Kodesh. So if so, hi Betishol HaKodesh, what are they going to do with the words Betishol HaKodesh? Because we just now learnt in this Braisa that from Betishol HaKodesh you learn that you have to be Moisif Me'achil Ala Kodesh before Yom Kippur. Bo'erev tells us that the main fast starts on the night of the 10th. And it's not the whole 9th which is Yom Kippur. The second Bo'erev tells us that the night of the 11th, a few minutes, there's Tosefes Michoil Al HaKodesh. But from the words Betisha we learn that there's Tosefes Yom Kippurim on the 9th of Tishri. But if you learn it out from virtue of the fact that it says Etzem to tell us that you don't get punished if you don't be Moisif Michoil Al HaKodesh, then what do you do with the words Betisha LaKodesh? My Ovidle, what do you do with it? Answers the Gemara, Mi boile l'kedetanya chiyah barav mi difti. We saw in the Braisa, which chiyah barav of difti taught us, the tanya chiyah barav mi difti, the pasuk says, Ve'inisem es nafshu yiseichem betisha, you should afflict yourselves on the 9th of Tishri. V'chi betisha mis'anin, do we fast on the 9th? V'alei ba'osir mis'anin, we fast on the 10th of Tishri. The reason the pasuk says, you should afflict yourselves on the 9th, even though you don't fast on the 9th, is teaching us that somebody who eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishri, on Erev Yom Kippur, the Torah treats him as if he fasted not only on the 10th, but also on the 9th. And exactly why this should be so, and what goes into this, then the Rishonim discuss this. Rabbi Yonah and Shari Tshuva has famously got three explanations to this, but that is what we learn from the words, Betisho Lachodesh. Continues the Gemara, and we're now going back to the Mishnah. Ochal oichlin she'en ru'in la'chile, if somebody eats on Yom Kippur foods that are not fit for regular consumption, then he's potter, he does not get punished by Korus. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, kas pilpili, if one chews or eats pilpili, which are some type of pepper, b'yoyma de kippur on Yom Kippur, potter he is potter, because it's not a normal way of eating it. These peppers are used as spices, but they're not eaten as they are, as a vegetable. Kas zangvila, similarly, if somebody eats ginger, b'yoyma de kippur on Yom Kippur, also potter is potter, because ginger is used as a spice, it's not used to be eaten on its own. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question against what the first statement of Rava regarding the peppers, the pilpili. Meisvei, we learnt in the Braisa, Ho Yo Reb Meir, Oimer Reb Meir would say, Mimashma Shenema, from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, Va'araltem Orlosoi Espirioi. What does it say there in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, V'chisavoyu Ela Oretz, Unetatem Kol Eitz Machol. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to plant fruit trees, Va'araltem Orlosoi Espirioi, that you should treat its fruits as if they're forbidden. Sholei shonim yiyeh lochem areilim, for 3 years they should be forbidden to you lo ya'ochil. So from the fact that it says that va'araltem orlosei espirioi, that it's making explicit mention that the fruits are forbidden for those 3 years, known as orlo, ein yodea she'etz machalhu, do I not know that this is a food tree? So why does the pasuk have to tell us unetatem kol etz machal? What is the Torah trying to teach us? That it's a tree with fruits, with food. Of course it's got food, it's talking about the fruits. Rather, what it's coming to teach us is that eitz, a type of tree, shetam eitzoi upiryo shaveh, that the wood and the fruit both taste the same, that orlo applies to them as well, because it's considered a fruit. Have a oimer, what is that? Pilpilin is talking about these peppers. To teach us that peppers are subject to the halachas of orla. V'ein Eretz Yisrael chaseira klum. It's also coming to impress on us that Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, loisech sar koil bo. In another pasuk, it says Eretz Asher loy b'miskenus toichel bo lechem loisech sar koil bo. Eretz Asher avoneo barzelu meareo tachtoiv nechoshes. So the pasuk says that nothing is lacking there. Even peppers, which are grown on this tree, they are also part of what Eretz Yisrael is giving us. Now what the Gemara means to ask is that if you see that a tree of peppers is chayav in orla, so you can see that it's a regular proper food. If it's a regular proper food, then if you eat on Yom Kippur, you should be chayav. How can Rava say that if you eat these pilpilin, that you're not chayav on Yom Kippur? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha, it's not difficult. Ha beretivta, this braisa that considers these peppers as a regular food is talking about the moist peppers. V'habi aveshta. What Rava was saying was, is the dry peppers. The dried peppers, they're only used as spices and not fit to be eaten as they are on their own. And now the Gemara is going to challenge the second statement of Rava, that Rava said regarding this zangvila, that if one eats on Yom Kippur, one is potter. Omer le'Ravina le'Mareimer, v'ha'omer Rav Nachman, did Rav Nachman not say that hay heimalta, de'osimi behindue, that this heimalta, which is a type of a food item, which also contains this spice called zangvil, and it comes from a place of the land of Hindue, that it's mutter, even though a goy cooked it, and we know that when a goy cooks food, you're not allowed to eat it, it's called bishul akum, bishul nochrim, but that's only true if it's a type of food that could not be eaten raw. And since this zangvil could be eaten raw, and therefore we didn't really need the cooking of the goy to make it fit to be eaten, therefore the halachas of bishul akum do not apply to it. Umavorchen oleo boyer pri adoma, and the bracha on this zangvil is the boyer pri ha adoma. So you see here that this zangvil is considered as a proper food. So how can you rather say that kas zangvila, if somebody chews or eats zangvil on Yom Kippur, b'yema de Kippura, is potur, he should be chayev, it's a regular food. And again the Gemara answers, lo ikashya, it's not a question, ha beretivta, when Rav Nachman said that this ginger, this zangvil, is a proper food, is talking about fresh ginger. Ha b'yabeshta, but when it's dry, that's when Rava says that when it's dry, it's only used as a spice and is not eaten on its own. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Ochal alei konim, if somebody eats the leaves of reeds on Yom Kippur, potter is potter. Lulove gefanim, but if he eats the shoots of the grapevines, chayev, then he is chayev, because the leaves of the reeds, the alei konim, are not fit for regular eating, and lulove gefanim, they are fit for eating. Now regarding this second ruling, where it says, lulove gefanim, the shoots of the grapevines that are chayev on Yom Kippur, they are regularly eaten. Eilu hein lulove gefanim, Omer v'yitzchok migdelar. V'yitzchok migdelar says about that, that it's only those, kol shel livlevu, those that sprouted, mei Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. Between Rosh Hashanah, those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they're fit to be eaten on Yom Kippur, and if you eat them, you'll be chayev. Rav Kahana, Omar Rav Kahana said, no, kol shleishim yoim, any of the shoots that had sprouted in the 30-day period before Yom Kippur are fit for consumption on Yom Kippur, and if you eat them on Yom Kippur, you'll be chayev. Tanya Kavaseid Rav Yitzchok Migdelar, there's a braisa that supports what Rav Yitzchok Migdelar said, ochal alei konim potur, if one eats the leaves of the reeds on Yom Kippur, he's potur, v'lulovi gefanim chayev, eiluheinu lovi gefanim, kol shelivlevu, mirei shashonov, ad yom kippurim, that those shoots of the grapevines which grow, which sprouted from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, they are the ones who are edible on Yom Kippur, and if you eat them, you'll be chayev. Continues the Gemara, Shaso tzir oimurios potter, the last statement in the Mishnah. If somebody drinks fish brine or dissolves fish fats and drinks it on Yom Kippur, he's potter. Says the Gemara, ha choymet chayev. One would deduce from that that only something as salty as tzir and murios would not be considered as something which is edible. But choymet, but vinegar, is considered edible, and if he drinks it on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayev. It's obviously the chaymetz is more drinkable than the tzir and the murios. Says the Gemara, masnisin mani. So this Mishnah who says that somebody who drinks vinegar on Yom Kippur will be chayev, who is that following? Answers the Gemara, Rebbe, it's Rebbe in the following braisa, the Tanya we learned, Rebbe Omer, chaymetz, vinegar, meshivas hanefesh, it restores the person's soul, it alleviates the affliction of the thirst, and therefore on Yom Kippur he will be chayev. Says the Gemara, Dorash Rav Gidl Bar Menashe mi Beirei de Neresh. Rav Gidl Bar Menashe, from this place of Beirei of Neresh, he expounded as follows in a drosha, Ein halacha k'Rebbe. The halacha is not like Rebbe. Rebbe seemed to say that somebody who drinks chaymetz vinegar on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayev koros. If he does it by mistake, he'll be chayev chatos. Says Rav Gidl, no, the halacha is not like Rebbe. Lashono. The following year, what happened? Nofke kule alma, all the people went out, mozgu, they mixed water, they diluted water with the vinegar, they diluted the vinegar, v'shalsu chala, and they drank the vinegar on Yom Kippur. Shomar of Gidl, if Gidl heard this, v'ikbit. He was very makbit, he got annoyed, he got angry at the way they misunderstood him. Omar, and he said, Eimad Omri Ano, when I said the halacha is not like Rebbe, it's only b'di'eved that somebody who drank vinegar on Yom Kippur is not going to be chayev. Lekatchila mi Omri? But did I say that you're allowed to go lekatchila and drink vinegar on Yom Kippur? I didn't say that. Eimad Omri Ano. Even more than that, when I said that there's no chiyuv on Yom Kippur, the halacha is not like Rebbe, is purta. That's if you drink a little bit of vinegar. Tuva mi Omri? Did I ever say that if you drink a lot of vinegar, then you're also going to be potter? Eimad Omri Ano, Chai. When I said that when drinking the vinegar, you're potter, that's when it was undiluted, when it's pure vinegar. Mozug mi Omri, did I ever say that if you drink diluted vinegar, that you're going to be potter? It's much more drinkable when it's diluted, and he may well be chayev. And that was Rav Gidl's response to the way the people misunderstood him. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.